Hey everyone, welcome to Creep Your Heart Out. I'm Monica.
And I'm Nick.
And this is a weekly podcast where we talk about all things wild, wicked, and weird. What was your favorite subject in school?
I liked history. I like some science, depends, and I like art and things like that. Yeah. Hated math.
Did you like any like world history?
Yeah.
Like other countries? Yeah. I liked that stuff better. I used to have like a couple like world history classes, and like I had one that was like, it was like China and Russia, and then like another one that was like, I think it was like Latin America and like something else or something like that. Too. Those were cool. I liked those a lot better.
And I liked anthropology and geography too.
Yeah. I like geography a lot. Yeah. Did you ever like learn anything about like World War II?
Yeah.
I don't remember learning about World War II.
I've actually watched a few. I watched like World War II in color. It's like that National Geographic thing. That was pretty cool.
Was it in school or like just
by yourself? Just on my own.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I've watched stuff like that too, but like, I don't know. I don't remember really going over a lot of it in school. I feel like a lot of what we went over was just like the Revolutionary War. And then, yeah, that was like it. I feel like that's like really all we talked about like in high school and stuff. Well, today we're going to be talking about the Nazi prisoner experiments. Have you ever heard of these?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I had never heard of them. Like, I mean, I knew like
talking about the Angel of Death.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stuff I like know that. All about this.
Yeah. Okay. So I didn't really know a lot about this. I knew like a little bit, I guess. Like I knew people obviously had been imprisoned in concentration camps and things like that, and that they did some experiments on them, but I didn't know the extent of it until somebody told me to research this. And I was like, I don't know if I'd be like interested in that or whatever. But when I actually looked it up and I did a little research, I was reading about this for days, and I was like going completely off topic too. Like I was just reading like all about like World War II, especially in Germany. And I was like, holy shit, there's so much I didn't know.
Yeah.
And I was like for like days, like reading like, I mean, mostly Wikipedia articles and stuff like that, but like obviously condensed versions. But I was like, damn, like, this is fucking crazy. Like, how did I not know any of this? I don't feel like we ever talked about it in school.
I didn't think they'd go into the gruesome details too much. I mean, I remember
we learned about like Anne Frank.
Yeah.
I remember we read the diary of Anne Frank.
Yeah, we learned a little bit about the concentration camps and stuff, but I don't think.
And everybody knows about Auschwitz.
Yeah, I don't think they really deemed it appropriate to go into it like to that level for kids. But, you know, you read about it a lot on your own as an adult, and it's absolutely horrific.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, like, in a sense, if they could go into it, like, not in super graphic detail or something like that, but maybe make kids, like, aware of this. Because this happened less than 100 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And we were in, I think, maybe middle school when we read The Diary of Anne Frank. So I was, like, what, 12, 13 or something like that? And even then, that was, like, the early 2000s, mid 2000s. So it's like, that was what, 60, this was like 60 years prior.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago. I mean, my grandparents on my father's side, they lived in German occupied Italy. So there yeah, there were German troops in their village, and they were little.
In the 40s?
Yeah, it must have 30s been the 40s. And 40s. Yeah, so they would have been like grade school.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was, there was legitimately like one, it was, I think my grandfather said, you know, he spoke kind of, his English wasn't great, but he said that like, yeah, it was just kind of like almost slowly, but not so like kind of almost overnight. It was like all of a sudden like, okay, there's just German people everywhere and they have to tell you what to do, where to go. And, you know,
and it's crazy too, because
complete like oppression, but he had no idea what was going on. It was just like, okay, I guess this is the new thing we're doing.
Yeah, and I guess I had read too when, you know, obviously Hitler had his supporters and all that stuff, and he was obviously the one who was kind of encouraging all these things to happen, like as far as like the experiments go and all that stuff, and obviously much more. But I had read too that it was kind of like his rise to power was so fast, and then the way they had taken over, like they took over Austria,
Poland,
Czechoslovakia, and, you know, obviously then they kind of invaded other countries, but it was like it happened so suddenly. And then I guess as soon as, I forget what the law was that passed or whatever it was that they signed, I have it in here, I'll read it at the end, but I guess as soon as whatever this is was signed by the new government or whatever, like all of Hitler's supporters just like disappeared. Like, as fast as they had, like, come along, they had gone away, pretty much.
I had read or saw, too, the, it wasn't, like, an overnight thing for him. Like, he was involved in politics for a while.
No, yeah, exactly.
And he was considered kind of a whack job, but, like, yes. He had a hardcore group, small but strong group of followers, mm-hmm. and he ended up becoming, like, chancellor or something like that. And then
yeah, it was just something like that, but it was, like, once people started supporting him and he became, like, what was he? He wasn't obviously the president. What was he?
Well, he was, I think he was the chancellor.
Yeah.
And then he just became like the leader.
Yeah. Like,
he was
like
a dictator. So I'm not sure if there's a title for that.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I didn't go into a lot of like, I don't really even mention, I don't think I mentioned Hitler in here at all, mm-hmm. really, maybe at the very end, but there was just so much that I didn't know. And it was just so weird that his rise to power, like when he got, when he became powerful, it was like really quick for him to start dictating and mm-hmm. he had tons and tons of followers like right away and like mm-hmm. tons of people that like really liked what he was like going for as far as like whatever they were calling it, like purifying the Aryan race and all that shit, like
yeah.
people were like so into it. And then as soon as like, you know, the Germany had been invaded and Hitler like killed himself, like all those people that like supported him, they all of a sudden just mm-hmm. didn't support him anymore. You know what I mean? It was, I just thought it was crazy that it was yeah. it was really, really fast. And then it was really fast for people to be like, well, I changed my mind, you know.
His German nationalism and separatism and anti-Semitism, it came from scapegoating the Jewish people because mm-hmm. Germany got economically crushed by the, I think it was by the UN at the time. They were a brand new thing. And they were economically crushed by the United States and England for as to make reparations for World War One.
Mm-hmm.
And Hitler saw it as a way of going like, oh, well, you know, but these independent Jewish business owners, oh, they're doing great. So it's the Jews' fault. So that it became exactly. scapegoating when really what it was is they were paying reparations for World War One. And I don't know if it was who it was, but some leader, I think it was British. It might have, I would almost say Churchill, but it might have been Churchill. He was actually saying that we shouldn't, after World War One, punish Germany so harshly because he was afraid of that thing happening. He's like, you're just going to create Western resentment and they're going to come exactly. back even more mm-hmm. pissed off. So
mm-hmm. it's interesting. I definitely want to read some more about it. The history of it. It's just very, it's not cool. It's just very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just something I just didn't know a lot about, I guess. But mm-hmm. yeah, so I guess we'll just jump right into this. So in the years 1933 to 1945, Nazi Germany established more than 1,000 concentration camps and other prison-type sites. The early camps and incarceration centers initially held, quote, enemies of the state in protective custody, lots of air quotes, in any convenient structure the Nazis had available, such as schools, vacant factories, prisons, country estates, and castles. 80% of the early camp population were communists, 10% were social democrats, and the remaining 10% were of a different political party, trade union activists, or people who had no connection to any particular party whatsoever, but the Nazis just felt like imprisoning them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
From the mid to late 1930s, the prison population grew exponentially and began to include various other criminals, such as unemployed people, the homeless, the mentally ill, Roma, or nomadic people, Jehovah's Witnesses, and homosexuals. The new camps were built to include barbed wire, barracks, and guard towers, and prisoners had to give up their civilian clothes and were forced to wear uniforms sporting Nazi concentration camp badges. With Germany's annexation of Austria and Czechoslovakia, many Austrian and Czech anti-Nazis became political prisoners and were introduced into the concentration camp system. In November of 1938, following the horrific event known as, I'm going to say this wrong, Kristallnacht. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah.
It's the Night of Broken Glass.
Mm-hmm.
26,000 Jewish men were deported to concentration camps following mass arrest, making Jews the majority of prisoners. At one point, around 1.65 million people were registered prisoners in the camps, and around a million people died during their imprisonment. The Nazis used these camps for a wide range of purposes, including but not limited to detention, forced labor, mass murder, and different types of medical, psychological, and social experiments. Today, we're going to be focusing on the horrifically violent, abusive, and absolutely inhumane experiments the Nazis conducted on prisoners from the early to mid-1940s. Do you know of any of these off the top of your head?
Joseph Mengele was the guy who kind of spearheaded it, right?
Is that how you say his name?
Mengele.
Mengele, yeah.
I think so.
I watched like two or three different videos on him and everybody was saying his name differently. So it was like, I don't know how to, someone call him like Mengele or something like that. I was like, I don't think that's right. So
I'm kind of making it sound kind of Italian. Mengele.
Mengele. Well, we're going to call him Joseph Mengele. So the first one we're going to be talking about are the experiments on twins from 1943 to 1945-ish. These experiments were mostly being conducted to study the relationship of nature versus nurture. Wow. Nature versus nurture, and to discover ways of increasing German reproduction rates. Many of these experiments were being conducted by a man named Joseph Mengele, who was a German SS officer and physician. Known as the Angel of Death, Mengele was remembered for his actions in Auschwitz, where he not only performed the usually deadly experiments on imprisoned twins, but was also on the team of doctors who selected victims to be killed in gas chambers and was often the one to administer the gas. Mengele would also handpick twins from groups of prisoners being brought into the camp and separate them from other prisoners. It is believed that as many as 1,500 sets of twins, not 15,000, 1,500 sets of twins, mostly children, were imprisoned in Auschwitz, and only around 200 people survived these events.
It's crazy.
Yeah, so that's 1,500 sets of twins is 3,000 people, mostly kids, and only around 200 survived.
Wow.
That's bad. There were a wide range of experiments conducted on imprisoned twins. These experiments, performed without the use of anesthesia, included blood transfusions from one twin to the other, isolation endurance, reaction to various stimuli, injections of infectious diseases, sex change operations, amputations of limbs and the removal of organs, and incestuous impregnations.
Ew.
Yeah.
The fuck is wrong with this guy?
I don't know. They're all bad. He's not the worst.
Yeah.
I don't even want to get into it, but yeah, there's obviously, if you know anything about World War II, you probably know more than me, and you know this is not the worst that's happened to people. Mm-hmm. There were reports by some survivors that Mengele had even injected them with different substances in an effort to see if he could change their eye color. There were also instances that were reported stating that Mengele had attempted to create conjoined twins by sewing twins together, but these experiments were not successful, as victims would often develop gangrene and die. Mm-hmm. Did you know about that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so fucked up.
Yeah, that's fucking fucked up.
Oh, my God. It was common for one twin to be the object of experimentation while the other was kept as a control. But if one twin died as a result of an experiment, the other would be killed and their deceased bodies would then be compared. Many of the children who were fortunate enough to escape with their lives never saw their twin sibling again, never knowing where they went or what became of them. Isn't that so sad?
Yeah.
Like little kids.
It's awful.
I know.
I saw a picture years ago. They're both old now. It was two old men who were twins. And
they were separated and they met each other later?
Yeah. And it was like a picture of them. They're all old now, but it was like they somehow both escaped.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that. And they somehow, I think it was many years later. I think they were a lot older when they found each other. Mm-hmm. And they both have like, they had both left the camp not knowing their own names and then wound up, they must have, if they were little enough, they might have like wound up in some kind of like foster care kind of situation or an orphanage. Yeah. And then they got adopted out separately. And then I don't know how they found out they were twins or found each other, but like they had different, like completely different last names than each other. It was like really crazy. So sad. So the next one is bone, muscle, and nerve transplantation experiments. From September of 1942 to December of 1943, transplant experiments were being conducted at the Ravensbrück concentration camp. Ravensbrück was the largest women's concentration camp, with around 130,000 women and children passing through during the war. The purpose of these experiments was to test the success rate of transplanting major organs and to study bone, muscle, and nerve regeneration to treat injured soldiers. These experiments, again being conducted without anesthesia, also included the transplant of bones, muscles, and nerves. Prisoners were also subjected to injections of bacteria into their bone marrow to study the effectiveness of new drugs that were being developed for soldiers in the battlefield. Many of these operations led to infection, fractures, mutilation, and permanent disability of the victims, and often resulted in death. It's so gross. This one is really weird. So this one is head injury experiments.
Oh, geez.
I guess a lot of these, obviously, they were doing this, quote, medical research to help, like, soldiers in the battlefield and stuff like that. So they're just, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they were literally planning on taking over the world.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's crazy.
And it's just like, and it was anything from, like being, like, in submarines or, like, flying in planes and, like, ejecting yourself or, like, being in the mountains and the cold or, like, in the desert. It was, like, they were, like, fucking everywhere. They were, like, in all conditions. And one thing I had read was, like, they didn't know at the time. Like, they were not prepared to be in any of those conditions. They were just, like, going out there in, like, regular soldier clothes and, like,
yeah, that's why they,
just being in, like, really extreme elements.
That's why Russia kicked Germany's ass at the end there, because it was really the winter. They couldn't – they didn't have the means to survive a Russian winter, and Russia was prepared for it.
Actually, that's funny that you say that, because in the next one, I actually think I mention some experiments that they had done on, like, Russian captives. So this one, the head injury experiments. In Baranowicz-occupied Poland in 1942, experiments were conducted in which victims were strapped down and deliberately given head injuries, both minor and major. The book Remember Us, My Journey from Shtetl Through the Holocaust by Martin Small and Vic Shane describes an experiment in which, quote, a young boy of 11 or 12 was strapped to a chair so he could not move. Above him was a mechanized hammer that every few seconds came down upon his head.
Jesus.
The torture caused the boy to go insane.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. Isn't that so... It's, like, so upsetting, because I was, like, actually getting really upset at this earlier, because I was like, it's, like, mostly women and children in a lot of these experiments.
You know what I never get to is, like, you know, like I said, they were ready to take over the world and they were doing all this stuff. At no point did anyone just be like, am I part of the bad guys? Like,
well, no, like, am I actually, on the, no, they did, though. The thing was, is that a lot of these people, like, I had read something that some of these people were really, really evil. A lot of the doctors and stuff like that. But there was, like, nurses and assistants and, like, other soldiers and, like, all these other people that...
They fled?
No, they were helping with these experiments and stuff like that. But they, like, somebody was kind of like, well, why didn't you say anything? Like, what? And they were kind of like, well, who would I go to? Mm-hmm. Who would I go to? And also, if I, you know, try to tell anybody about this, they're just going to put me in the gas chamber, or they're just going to do experiments on me. So it's like, no one's safe. Like, you either... If you're a captive, you're being subjected to this. And if you're one of the other soldiers or a doctor or whoever who is being forced to participate in this, if you act like you don't want to do this, or if you try to run away and tell somebody about it, they're just going to do it to you too. Right. So it's kind of like, it's really fucked up, but you know, it's, you know, so many against one, what are you going to do? You know?
Yeah.
So it's pretty fucked up. So the next one is the, I'm going to say this wrong. I believe it's Dachau human hypothermia experiments. You know this one?
I think so.
You do? Okay. In 1941, the Luftwaffe, did I say that right?
The Luftwaffe.
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 The Luftwaffe.
I feel like I know more German World War II than I thought.
Yeah.
They're the Air Force.
Yes.
They're the German
Air Force. Exactly. Yep. Yeah. I'm just very bad at pronouncing anything that's not in regular American English, so I apologize. But the Luftwaffe conducted around 360 to 400 experiments on prisoners in the Dachau, did I say that right?
Yeah.
Dachau concentration camp to discover means of preventing and treating hypothermia. Approximately 280 to 300 victims were tested, indicating that some people underwent more than one experiment. These experiments were conducted to simulate the conditions the armies faced on the Eastern Front, as the Germans were not prepared for the cold weather they faced. In one experiment, prisoners were placed in a pool of ice water with temperatures ranging from around 35 to 53 degrees Celsius. How cold is the ocean in New Hampshire? Like, at Hampton Beach, how cold is the ocean? like in the summertime, like where you like walk in and you can't even get past your feet.
We do Fahrenheit here, and I don't know how to.
I just did Fahrenheit. It's
you said 30, Celsius.
No, I did. Did I? Well, I meant 35 to 53 degrees Fahrenheit. Sorry, okay. Not Celsius. But I feel like at the beach here, you try to walk into the ocean, and like you sometimes can't even get just your feet in there because it's so cold. Like these people are being fully submerged in this fucking water, and I'm pretty sure the water at the beach when it's cold, but like when it's hot outside, but we go in it, it's like
60,
it's about 60,
70, something like that. Maybe.
I don't think it's that warm, but it's, I think it's around like 60 degrees and that's fucking freezing.
Yeah.
So like, I can't even imagine. Some were anesthetized while others were fully conscious. Some were naked and others were clothed, sometimes in experimental clothing. The water temperature, rectal temperature of the victim when removed from the water and at their time of death, the time the victim was in the water, and how long the victim took to die were all recorded. Other studies were conducted that placed prisoners fully naked outside in freezing temperatures as low as 21 degrees Fahrenheit. Many of the victims used in these tests were captured Russian troops. The Nazis suspected that the Russians' genetics made them resistant to the cold. I wonder if that's true, though.
It's not genetic. It's just what you're used to.
Yeah, I guess they're... I guess that makes sense. Different ways of rewarming the prisoners were also tested. An assistant in the experiments later testified that occasionally victims were even thrown into boiling water in an attempt to rewarm them.
Jesus.
Reportedly, around 100 people died as a result of these experiments. So now we're moving on to malaria experiments. This is really gross, yeah. From 1942 to 1945, over 1,200 prisoners at the Dachau concentration camp were subjected to experiments involving the infection and treatment of malaria. Healthy prisoners were infected by mosquitoes carrying the disease or otherwise injected with extracts of the mucus glands of female mosquitoes. When an inmate contracted the disease, the subject was then treated with various experimental drugs to test their efficacy. More than half of the victims subjected to these tests died as a result, and some who survived were left with permanent disabilities. Immunization of malaria, among other diseases, including typhus, tuberculosis, typhoid fever, yellow fever, and infectious hepatitis, were also tested on prisoners in Dachau and other concentration camps across Germany. Huh. I didn't know that. What are the symptoms like if you get malaria? Is it, do you get like a fever?
I don't know. I know it was like... it's in like the jungle parts, like in Vietnam, they like people would get malaria and stuff like that. It comes from mosquitoes, but I'm not sure exactly the symptoms. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I know it's bad stuff though.
Mm-hmm. So the next one is the lost gas experiments. You probably know what this is.
Actually, I don't.
Okay.
I don't know.
You well know what it is. So in the years between 1939 and 1945, experiments were conducted throughout several concentration camps to test the most effective treatment of wounds caused by lost gas. Lost gas, or mustard gas, as it is most commonly known as, mm-hmm. is used in chemical warfare.
Yeah, I know about that. Mm-hmm. That stuff's really bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing that the UN outlawed.
Is it
chemical warfare?
Is it similar to pepper spray?
No, way worse. It like pretty much melts your lungs.
Yeah,
when you breathe it in.
Okay.
It like chokes you to death and then cause permanent lung damage.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I'm pretty sure, yeah, if you breathe enough of it, it's like, I think it like almost like melts like, your literal,
yeah.
the lining of your lungs.
Oh, that's so horrific.
Yeah. Ew. And you basically drown your own like body fluid.
Oh, wow. That's ew. Really oh, that's terrible. It sounds nasty. Like Ebola.
It's nasty.
Like Ebola just like melts you from the inside.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so terrible. Well, mustard gas is not really a gas at all, but is dispersed as a fine mist smelling strongly of mustard, garlic, or horseradish, hence the name. When a person is exposed, lost gas can cause large blisters to form on the skin and in the lungs, causing immense pain for the victim. But it sounds like it does a lot more than that. Mm-hmm. Ew, it makes blisters in your fucking lungs?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's terrible. Test subjects were deliberately exposed to the vapor to cause injury, causing chemical burns, and then tested to discover the most effective treatment for the burns. So I'm guessing, well, they outlawed it, right, is what you said?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they,
it's illegal
they don't use it anymore. But I'm guessing at the time, it was being used, and so they were trying to figure out like an effective treatment for the soldiers.
Yeah,
it seems like they did most of this for the
to help the soldiers for their world domination plan. Yeah,
oh my god, so fucked up.
Yeah, it was used a lot in World War One, so I'm sure it was used in World War Two as well. But I know after World War Two, they stopped using it.
Yeah, that's so fucked up. It's so gross. So the next one is seawater experiments. This one's very interesting. I've never heard of this type of experiment before. This is really, really crazy. At the Dachau concentration camp, which seems like it was one of the worst. Like, it seems like a lot of this kind of shit went on here. Like, a lot of the experiments.
Yeah.
So the Dachau concentration camp, in the summer of 1944, experiments were conducted to study various methods of making seawater consumable. Test subjects were deprived of all food and fresh water and given only filtered seawater to drink. For those of you who don't know, seawater contains almost 4 times the amount of salt that is in our natural body fluids. If you drink a significant amount of seawater, the high concentration of salt from the water pulls the water out of your cells, causing dehydration. Your body will attempt to eliminate the excess sodium by secreting urine, causing further dehydration. Early side effects of drinking seawater include nausea, vomiting, cramping, bloating, and dehydration. Severe and possibly fatal side effects include muscle spasms, weakness, confusion, irregular heartbeat, seizures, and blood pressure problems. In one of these experiments, a group of roughly 90 Roma were given no food and nothing but salt water to drink, leaving them gravely ill. They were left so dehydrated that they were reported to have been observed licking freshly mopped floors in an attempt to obtain drinkable water.
Ew.
Other victims, who were occasionally able to find food, had trouble eating and would desperately seek out any source of water, including old wet floor rags.
Oh, that's disgusting.
I know. It's so gross. It's so sad. I can't even imagine. The next one is sterilization and fertility experiments. On July 14th, 1933, Nazi Germany passed the law for the prevention of genetically defective progeny. This law legalized the involuntary sterilization of people with hereditary diseases, such as schizophrenia, weak-mindedness, alcoholism, blindness, deafness, and physical deformities. The law was invented to encourage the growth of the Aryan race by sterilizing those who fell under the quota of being, quote, genetically defective. Within 4 years of the law passing, 300,000 people had been sterilized, both men and women. From 1941 to 1945, thousands of sterilization experiments were conducted, mainly at Auschwitz and Ravensbrück, for the purpose of developing a method of sterilization which would be suitable for sterilizing millions of citizens with minimal time and effort. Karl Klauberg was the lead research developer in the search for the most effective form of mass sterilization. He particularly focused on women between the ages of 20 and 40 who had already given birth. Klauberg would first x-ray the women to make sure their ovaries were not obstructed in any way, and then over the course of 3 to 5 sessions, injected the women's cervixes with a solution that is speculated to have contained a mixture of iodine and silver nitrate in order to block up their fallopian tubes. The experiments were successful in that the women could no longer conceive, but the injections had unwanted side effects, such as vaginal bleeding, severe abdominal pain, and cervical cancer. Therefore, radiation treatment became the more favorable choice for sterilization. Exposure to specific amounts of radiation destroyed a person's ability to produce sperm or ova. Because this form of sterilization was not surgically invasive, radiation was sometimes administered through deception.
Oh my God.
Which I'm not sure how that would be. Like, maybe if you
went in for something.
You went in for something else or whatever, and then they just... Can you imagine? Oh, my God. It's so fucked up. Many victims suffered severe radiation burns. The use of X-ray radiation was also implemented by the Nazis as a form of mass sterilization. Women received abdominal X-rays, and men received X-rays on their genitalia for prolonged periods of time in an attempt to invoke infertility. Often, when the experiment was complete, the reproductive organs were removed for further lab analysis, and often without the use of anesthesia.
Jesus.
They just cut your balls off and just take it over to the lab.
God, it's got that sympathy pain.
I know. So gross. You okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
And just cut them right off, and then they're like,
okay, move on.
Like, here you go. Just bring them over to the lab. You never get them back either. What if they try to reattach them?
Oh, that's horrific.
That's even worse, I feel
like. That'd probably be even worse. Yeah. Let's move on from that.
Well, if you didn't want your balls removed, anyone who stood up against the sterilization of their own bodies were sent to the gas chambers and murdered.
Hmm.
Would you rather have your balls removed, or would you rather just go to the gas chamber?
Gas chamber.
I think I'd let them just take my ovaries.
Without anesthesia? I mean, you're going to die of some kind of mass infection anyway.
I guess
do you want to die quick or you want to die slow?
Yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah, it's so fucked up.
Yeah.
They were you know why they probably, I just had the thought, because this is like the third or fourth one that they didn't use anesthesia. I wonder if it was because they were saving all the anesthesia for like the soldiers, like if they had to do like surgeries or something on them.
I don't know.
And they obviously just didn't give a fuck about any of these prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I kind of think that might be why. The next one is the high altitude experiments. This is so fucked up too. They're all fucked up, but I feel like they're getting worse. In early 1942, prisoners at Dachau concentration camp were used in experiments to aid German pilots who had to eject from their planes at high altitudes. Sigmund Rascher, the leader of this experiment, who also participated in the hypothermia experiments, constructed a low-pressure chamber which was used to simulate conditions at altitudes of up to 68,000 feet. Of the 200 victims tested, 80 died as a result of the experiments, and those who survived were murdered. Trigger warning on this next part, because this is very disturbing. And in an experiment performed and recorded by Rascher, a 37-year-old male, described as being in good health, was suffocated in the pressure chamber in order to record his reactions as he began to lose oxygen. After about 4 minutes in the chamber, the man began to wiggle his head, and a minute later, he began suffering from cramps before falling unconscious. The victim then lay unconscious, breathing only about 3 times per minute until he finally stopped breathing about 30 minutes after being deprived of oxygen. The victim then turned blue and began foaming at the mouth.
Jesus.
30 minutes, that seems like a long time.
Yeah, it's a long
time. But I think you could be technically dead after a certain amount of time that oxygen has not reached your brain, though. So maybe, like, if your body could probably survive that long, but you're like not coming back after that.
I think it would depend on how much and over how much time they're depleting the oxygen.
Yeah, probably.
You have to do it really, really slowly, you know?
Mm-hmm. Later, these experiments turned to finding ways of resuscitating victims who had been condemned to death. Those who could be successfully resuscitated were pardoned to, quote, concentration camp for life.
Oh.
There you go.
Nice, nice.
All right, see you later, Jimmy. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah.
See ya.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's fucked.
On May 8th, 1945, the German Instrument of Surrender was signed, marking the end of the Nazi regime and the end of World War II in Europe. A few years later, the doctors captured by Allied forces were put on trial in the USA versus Karl Brandt, or what is more commonly known as the Doctor's Trial. Do you know anything about, you've heard this mm-hmm. before? Yeah. I've never heard of this before. 20 of the 23 defendants were medical doctors and were being accused of being involved in human experimentation and mass murder. Mm-hmm. Many of the doctors claimed that they had been doing the world a favor by conducting these experiments and eliminating Jewish folk. Hmm. One SS doctor was even quoted as saying, quote, Jews were the festering appendix in the body of Europe.
Mm-hmm.
That's so fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, what were they doing? Like, what were they doing?
I don't know. They were a very common scapegoat for even years prior to World War II. It was like a weird thing, you know?
I just... Could you see something like that happening today?
I, to a smaller level, I feel like you saw it a lot after 9/11 with Middle Eastern people and Muslim people. You know, especially, I can't tell you how many guys I knew who were always like, oh, like, look at that Muslim family. They own a store. They have the, like, what are they hiding? What are they hiding from us, kind of a thing. Same mm-hmm. attitude was put towards the Jewish people in World War II. Mm-hmm. It's just classic scapegoating. That's all it is, you know?
Just blaming a group of people for, like, something maybe a couple of people that looked like them did, I guess.
And not, you're not even, just your religion's different. You're, you know, my God will kick your God's ass kind of mentality. And
people are afraid of what they don't understand.
Yeah. Mm. And religion's the arguably one of the most toxic things to ever plague humanity.
Mm-hmm. When it's really supposed to do the opposite.
At least organized and very, like, you know, or very fundamental religion mm-hmm. is really, you know.
Cults.
Culty kind of stuff, yeah. Mm-hmm. So
the indictment was filed on October 25th, 1946, and the trial lasted from December 9th, 1946 until August 20th of 1947. Seven of the defendants were acquitted, and seven others, including that bastard Sigmund Rascher, mm-hmm. the guy that was doing those hypothermia experiments, that fucker, were given death sentences. The remainder received prison sentences ranging from 10 years to life in prison. And that, like, Rascher guy, he was only, like, 35 or 36 when they, like, executed him.
Damn.
So he was, like, in his, I think he was, like, in his 20s when he was, like, doing these experiments on people.
It's crazy.
Yeah. As for the victims of these grisly experiments, many who were subjected died as a result, while many others who survived the tests were murdered after the completion of the experiments in order to study the effects post-mortem. Those who did survive often were left mutilated, suffered permanent disability, were left weakened, or had severe mental health distress. To this day, doctors from around the world say that the Nazi experiments on humans produced no information of medical value. Prisoners were simply playthings for the sick enjoyment of the Nazi party. Mm. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I was actually, like, I was going to ask, like, was there anything that came from these experiments? And, you know, yeah, like, they found nothing. I mean, there's no, you can't sew two people together and be like, oh, they're going to live.
Yeah. It's like, no, it's fucked up. And I don't condone animal testing or anything like that. But, I mean, isn't the point of animal testing to test things on animals and see their reactions so that you don't have to do it on people?
What did the Nazis view Jews as and disabled people as and communists as? You know, they viewed them as not human, basically, or less than human. So
it's just so fucked up. Like, I just don't understand why or how they did this. Like, how could you do that?
I don't know. Yeah, the whole...
Like, because even if you... Your opinions are your opinions. I hope, you know, I hope nowadays we live in, like, a less prejudiced world, I mm-hmm. guess. Maybe a little bit less since, the 1940s. Yeah. But I really hope, you know, even if you decide you don't like a certain group of people, that you're not just going to capture and imprison and fucking torture people for your own, like, sick enjoyment just because you don't like them.
Yeah.
Or because you want to blame them for your financial troubles or your whatever. You know what I mean? I just, it's just crazy to me.
Well, this goes back to the beginning of the podcast, why you have to study history so you mm-hmm. don't repeat that. When you look at it now going, how could anybody do that? That's how you prevent it from happening again.
Right.
It's because you teach kids and teach young people, like, hey, this shit happened. This is what happens when your prejudices get completely out of control. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. I mean, and look at Germany nowadays. I mean, 80 years later, mm-hmm. isn't Germany, like, a very, like, liberal and very, very nice country to live in? Mm-hmm. Like, I know
they've been our allies for a long time. And
I've talked to, like, a few clients and stuff that they're, like, I had one client that was telling me, him and his wife, they go on two trips, They go to some random country and then their second trip, they always go to Germany every single year. They go to Germany. They're like, it's the best place ever. If we were going to move to another country, we'd move to Germany.
Yeah.
But it also just shows, I mean, obviously Germany is a lot older country than our country, but it's just crazy how they went from killing and torturing and capturing innocent people to like becoming like a very liberal, liberal country. And so far, like much safer country, obviously, where I feel like in the United States, our progression is so much slower.
Yeah. It's hard. Well, it's hard to say. You also can't compare, despite the common habit these days of comparing people that you disagree with to Hitler or a Nazi, is definitely a stretch, I think. That being said, we were talking about like progress and how fast we're progressing and things like that. I think the United States is a great country and we've come a long way and done some great things. So comparing like Islam prejudice or something like that to the literal Holocaust is inappropriate. But I hope people can take what we learn from the Holocaust and learn from World War II and be like, hey, I don't want to repeat this with another group of people. Like this shouldn't, you know, this is what happens when your prejudices aren't checked and it gets out of control. So basically what I'm trying to say. So once again, history is important. Learn at least the basics.
Yeah, I know. I agree. I don't even remember a lot of the stuff like we learned in school. Even if we did learn about this, this is all new to me. Did I mention
anything? Were you busy smoking pot in high school? Is that what the problem was?
No, I didn't really smoke a lot of pot. I was busy smoking cigarettes across the street.
Right.
Yeah. Waving my fingers at the fucking school officer because I was like, haha, fuck you, I'm 18. You can't tell me what to do.
Nice.
Yeah. Did you learn anything today or did I cover everything I cover? Do you already know about it?
I didn't know I knew about the twins and I knew about the Mangala and Dachau and Auschwitz and stuff. I didn't know about like the seawater thing because that was really horrific.
I actually didn't even cover all of the experiments. Like there was more, but
yeah,
you know, I picked out like whatever, like 8 or 10 of the ones I thought were most interesting and horrific. But there was also some other ones. There was like something involving like coagulating like people's blood and stuff like that. Like, I don't know if they were like coagulating it from like inside them, like injecting them with something that would coagulate their blood or like something like that. Yeah. It's really fucked up. And there was, you know, they were testing a lot of, different kinds of new drugs and like vaccines and all this stuff. They were doing a lot of testing of that on people. It was just, really, really gross and horrific. Yeah. And there's people that are still alive today that, you know, this was happening. They wound up in a concentration camp as a child and they had these experiments done on them and this stuff. And then they were lucky enough to escape like with their life. I'm sure they were traumatized obviously for the rest of their lives, but
oh yeah, there's no coming back from
no,
that.
No, it's unfortunately it's horrible. And it's so sad too, especially the kids, but you know, so
yeah. The level of horrific humans are capable of being is a,
and that's staggering. Why I think that's why I find this most interesting. You know, like a lot of us like, you know, a lot of true crime because we're like, you know, how could people do this to other people? Like how did Ted Bundy just like sneak up behind people and like throw them in their car and then kill them and then rape their dead body for a week before it was too decomposed to do anything with. And then you just throw it out and do it again. Yeah. Like how the fuck does someone do something like
that? Smarter man than myself said Hitler wasn't a monster. He was a human being.
Yeah.
Point being, humans are capable of
it's crazy.
Monstrous
it's
things.
It's crazy. So yeah, I hope you all enjoyed that. Nick, did you like this one?
I did.
It was interesting, right?
Yeah.
Did it feel good to kind of know what was going on for once?
Yeah. It kind of did, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this. We might do something like this again. I kind of want to dive into like maybe some historical stuff down the road, maybe, because I don't know a lot of history, especially in other countries. So yeah. In the meantime, if you'd like, you can follow us on Instagram at creepyourheartout_pod, Twitter at creepyhopod, or I think it's creepyho_pod. And if there's any stories that you want us to read on the podcast, if you have a personal story or a case that you're interested in, you can email us at creepyourheartoutpod@gmail.com. And if you're listening on iTunes or anywhere where you can leave us a rating and you're enjoying the podcast, please leave us a 5-star rating and a review. Spread the word about the podcast. Tell a friend. Tell your family. Tell your mother. Force them to listen to it.
Make them.
Go on their Spotify and follow us and force them to listen to us.
Make them.
Make them. Mm. All right. So we will see you next Monday for another episode. Bye, creepies.
Creepy later.